This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm really happy to be here with you today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Jo Crawford. She's going to be talking about her book, It Takes a Woman to Empower Women, A Survivor's Guide to Creating a Life of Her Dreams. Joanna's book is a powerful testimony to the lives of thousands of brave women who overcame all forms of abuse and built better futures for themselves and their children. In her book, she shares 12 years of extraordinary hands-on experience in supporting women and provides the reader with a pragmatic and compassionate perspective on the steps needed to effectively go from surviving to thriving. Welcome to the show, Jo. How are you doing today?
Hi, Mari. I'm great. It's so nice to be here.
So you've worked for many, many years with survivors of domestic abuse. Will you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to do that type of work?
Well, it took me quite a long time, but I had grown up in a very abusive, alcoholic, and angry family. Excuse me. And when I got to be about 55, I had the time and the energy to try and do something about what is normally called domestic violence, but which is what I call intimate terrorism. Ooh, so I started volunteering at a shelter.
Okay. We seem to have lost the sound, Jo.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. After you said domestic
terrorism. I started working at a shelter, and I realized that there was a gap between what agencies could do for women and what they needed to help them start new lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I created a nonprofit that tried to fill that gap by giving micro grants to survivors to start the first step of their next life.
Wow, that's awesome. Because without being able to have the resources, how do you start anything? That was wonderful. Very good. So tell us a little bit about the work that you did with the women survivors.
Well, I set the nonprofit up so that the survivors needed to be out of their abusive relationships for 6 months so that they were able to have an idea of what they wanted to do next. Mm-hmm. And that they had been away from their abuser long enough that they felt they could stay away, because it takes an average of seven times
wow.
for a woman to actually leave her abuser. So they would be referred to me by their advocates, and then we would design the grants to fit what their biggest dreams would be, but we could only do step one. But we would do the whole life plan, which I called the dream proposal, for
okay.
them, so they knew how to work through the stages.
Okay, so I'm still stuck at seven times. So you mean to tell me that they'll leave and seven times they'll go back, or six times they'll go back before they're able to leave and not go back ever?
Yes, that's exactly
wow.
right.
I had no idea. I never heard that before.
Okay, well, that is a fact.
Wow, that's amazing to me. I can't even barely believe that. Okay, and so now as you built these things, how did you get them, or how were you able to assist them into even seeing their dreams, having come from such a difficult background? You know, it's like there's no self-esteem left, never mind dreaming. So in what ways were you able to draw that out of them?
We actually did dream. In each interview, we dreamed. And the book actually includes the dream proposal, so each reader can do it herself. But we
okay.
started with the biggest dream, what would be your dream career or your dream house or your dream car or whatever, and then we do the steps and goals. I had women who had not finished the fifth grade, and they wanted to go to college. So we had to figure out, okay, so we get a GED, right? And then how do we get into college, blah, blah, blah. But after we figured that out, we figured down to the lowest denominator, which was what is the cost of the first step?
Okay.
So our grants could only go up to $1,000.
Mm.
So I could give laptops. I gave deposits for apartments, education. We had lots of small businesses started. And really for between $500 and $1,000, we could change a life.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. I love that, Joe. What a beautiful thing you created. As you work with
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
It really is amazing because people said to me, what can $500 do?
Mm-hmm.
But they started businesses and they really created new lives. And it affected their children, so it was almost, exponential. And then each woman had to pay it forward and do a good deed for three other women. So that helped as well. Mm. So we did change a lot of lives.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that you say, yes, it's not just the women, it's their children's lives that changed. It's a whole generation not having to grow up under that. What a blessing that is. So as you work with them, what were some of the challenges that you faced with them being able maybe to create their goals, dream their dreams? Did you have any challenges there?
Well, my biggest challenge as executive director of the nonprofit was raising the funds that I could give to them. But the reason why women usually go back or don't leave in the first place is financial, because they don't know where to go with their kids. And that's gotten even harder over the past 10 years.
Yes.
So we had to figure out how to attempt to keep them stable to start with. And we could do that with the help of their advocates. We always collaborated. It was always the three of us working together. And then we could also connect them with the other agencies, educational, housing. We could connect them with advocates in the other agencies.
I see.
To keep them stable.
Okay. Fantastic. That's just a beautiful work, Joe. Thank you so much for doing that. It was necessary. It's still necessary, but it's so necessary. Very good. So in your book, it takes a woman to empower women, a survivor's guide to creating the life of her dreams. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, I dissolved the nonprofit when I was 70.
Okay.
And I wanted to be able to continue the empowerment piece, even though I didn't have the money piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that was to write the book and show women how they can make plans. Even part of the book, but a very small part of the book, is about intimate terrorism. There are a lot of women that actually are in abusive relationships and don't realize it. Abuse is a spectrum. So it can go from manipulation and verbal abuse to murder, and it does. So a lot of women don't realize that they're on the spectrum. So that's a very small part of the book. But then there are fantastically empowering stories that many of the women have written the stories for the book itself. And then many other stories I have written contemporaneously about the women who I worked with. So it's a fun, enjoyable, easily readable book with specific ideas.
I love that. And I love that some of the women wrote their own stories. How beautiful is that? That's amazing. I didn't know that. I thought you wrote all the stories. That's really wonderful.
No, I think there are six. I think there are six stories that were, and they're in the first person. They're really good.
Wow, that's amazing. So what do you think is the main message you want to bring to the public today?
I would really like everyone that's listening to believe or be on the road to believing that they deserve the best just because they walk on the planet.
Mm.
Not only that, I believe that they have the power to create it for themselves and their families. But it is one baby step at a time.
Right. That's very good. Deserving the best, and deserving the best is one thing, but adding the having the power to create it, that's, I mean, the only word I can think of is that's very powerful. It's very different to say, I deserve something, and then not being able to do anything, but to know that I have the power to create what I want, and that there's people out there who can help me do that. That's so encouraging. It's a beautiful message. Thank you, Joe. Very good. So tell us a little bit about how you yourself found that you deserved to have the best and that you had the power yourself to create it.
Oh, that's a tough one, Mari.
sorry.
You know, I'm a good teacher, but I'm not so much a good student. It took me a really long time because I was brought up in a family where my father attempted to murder my mother when I was 13. And we finally got him out and away.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the late 1950s, so you can tell how old I am. But back in the day, there was no help for really anybody that had been through domestic violence, intimate terrorism. And you really couldn't even find spiritual or mental or psychological help because there were very few psychologists, psychiatrists, and if you went to one, you were, you know, branded.
Yeah.
So we kind of lived in this silence, and it took a really long time, A, for me to get over my anger toward my father, mm-hmm. and B, to realize that I deserve something better than what my childhood was.
Right.
But it's not an easy road to that place. And I think the empowerment piece and the worthiness piece really comes from self-forgiveness. And I know that probably sounds a bit like woo-woo, but we've all done things that we're embarrassed about or sorry for or shamed about. And we kind of need an overall forgiveness of self, mm-hmm. knowing that we're human, which means we're imperfect to start with, and
right.
that we really are doing the best that we can do.
Yes.
But it's a hard road. It's not an easy thing, but just because we breathe, we deserve. And we are not broken. We are just doing the best that we can do.
That's an amazing message. And I love that forgiveness of self because, especially you were a child, I mean, a child is very limited in what they can do, but can still blame themselves, you know, for the way things go when they're not going well at home. And I love that you're saying we have to forgive ourselves because no one is perfect. And we don't get up one day and say, I'm going to do this and ruin my life, right? You don't. You get up every day and do the best you can, like you said. That's really such a great thing. It's very encouraging, especially for people who are in situations like you talked about and could have so much, you know, blaming of themselves, you know, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't done that. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, Joe. Very good. So we're going to take a moment to listen to hear from our sponsor, and I'm going to open up the line. If you want to call in and ask Joe a question or talk to her, the line is open. You can call 929-477-3869 That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Are you feeling heavy, angry, sad, alone, tired, hopeless? I'm Mari, an energy healing facilitator, and I know how you feel. I've been there. Let me help you. With personalized intuitive healing, you can break free from the grip of darkness. Experience a life of freedom and pain-free living. Start healing today. Book free consultation at www.marihelps.com. It's www.marihelps.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Jo Crawford, talking about her book, It Takes a Woman to Empower Women, A Survivor's Guide to Creating a Life of Her Dreams. So would you be able to share with us maybe one of your favorite of stories from the book?
Oh, sure, I'd love to. It's actually, you can watch this on CNN. I had the honor of being a CNN hero back in 2012, and we went and we interviewed the woman who I'm about to tell you about. But anyway, if you search CNN heroes, Johanna Crawford, you'll see this clip that was on CNN. But anyway, so this is a non-English speaking Korean woman came to us for a grant. And she was a tailor, and her husband had stolen her sewing machine and left, and left her with no visible means of support. So she met with me and her translator, who was an advocate. So we did the dream proposal, and her dream was to own a tailor shop. And she needed a sewing machine and all the equipment that went with it. And I know nothing about sewing machines. So I said, well, you know, how much does that cost? And she, through her translator, this was all done, she said she had found a sewing machine and all the equipment she needed for $700. So that day I wrote a check to the man who was selling the sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years later, when we were doing the CNN project, we flew out to meet her, and I hadn't seen her in 2 years. And we went to her tailoring shop, and it was a beautiful shop, and she was employing other Korean women who didn't speak English, which was really fantastic. And she had created her dream. She had her own apartment. And, oh, by the way, she was negotiating to buy the building.
Wow. Wow.
$700. Yeah.
What a story. Oh, my gosh. And she still didn't speak English, I guess. Or maybe she learned some along the way.
No, she didn't. But a few of the women that she employed were Korean, but spoke English.
Right, right. What a beautiful story. Wow.
Oh, she was a fabulous lady.
Yeah, she was very brave and just amazing. Wow.
There's another a quick story. Do we have time?
Yes, we have time. Go right ahead.
The relationship between me working at the shelter and starting the nonprofit was a woman who had arrived at the shelter with two young kids and a black trash bag full of all their belongings. Mm. And they had fled Chicago with basically nothing. And she arrived at the shelter, and I was working upstairs in the crisis office, and she came up and asked me if I could help her. And I said, well, come on in, and shut the door. And I said, what do you need? And she said, I need $40 to to get our identification. She didn't have birth certificates or anything. She had fled so quickly. I had to get them from City Hall in Chicago. And I said, well, let me see what I can figure out. And, of course, it's totally forbidden for a volunteer to give a client, a resident, money. But I don't do very well with rules anyway. So I went downstairs later in the day, and I gave her three $20 bills. And I said, here's the $40 for what you need. And, of course, she needed envelopes, and she needed money orders and whatever to get to Chicago. And I said, take the other $20 and get what you need, and then take your kids to McDonald's for a treat. Well, this was a long time ago, so it was still A-okay to take your kids to McDonald's for a treat. So anyway, that afternoon, I drove home in a nice car to a nice house, and I knew that I had changed a life for $40.
Wow.
Not $500, not $1,000, but I knew I had to do it in a bigger way. And that's a year later, the nonprofit was up and running.
That's such a beautiful story, Joe, because her need was great, but the amount of money to fulfill her need was not a huge sum. And it just really touches me that such a small amount of money can completely begin to change someone's life, because she can't go, you know, like you say, she can't go anywhere without birth certificates and IDs and things like that. Was not able to get out of her situation with those, right?
Well, she couldn't get food stamps.
Right.
I mean, she could, it wasn't just going anywhere. She had no access to any social services. So, and oftentimes it is just a little teeny bit of money. Oftentimes it's just being willing to help. Just knowing that one person really cares is life-changing.
It is. It is. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for listening to your heart and helping that woman that day. I'm sure that she's still thanking you for that. That's amazing. Well,
Mari, I had no idea where that $40 was going to end up by taking me. So it was a change of my life as well.
True, because you started this whole nonprofit. That's amazing. So speaking of which, let's talk about your book and how to get a hold of you and your book.
Well, the book is in ebook form as well as hard copy. We have a website. It's www.ittakesawoman.net. And you can find out all about the book on the website. Also, you can buy it from Amazon. And there are some quite nice reviews there on Amazon if you'd like to read those before you take the leap of $14.95. Mm-hmm. And it is also on Kindle, and it is on Apple as ebook.
Great. Wonderful. And you can click right onto Joe's website right from here. It takes a woman.net right here on Blog Talk. Just click in. I've also added that CNN Heroes video for you to see.
Oh, super.
Yeah, because I think that'd be fun for the listener to see. And just click right in there. So is there one last thing you'd like to say to listener, Joe? We have about 5 minutes or so.
Well, I just want to go back to the fact that we all deserve the best, and that we have the power to create it, and that if you can dream really, really big and then focus really, really small, just on the first step.
That's really great. I never heard anybody say that. Dream really, really big and then focus small, because we really can.
Focus small. And after the first step, Mari, I believe the second step will always show itself, and then the third, and then the fourth.
Yeah. I believe that's true as well. So a question popped into my head. Taking steps that you've never taken before, you know, making changes in your life takes a lot of courage. That's why this show is called Dare to Be Authentic. How does one overcome the fear, because there always is, of taking that very first step, even if it's a little tiny step?
I don't think you ever overcome the fear. I think you learn to live with it. And you look at the options. Is the fear more important than the change? Oftentimes, people would rather live with the fear or live with the present than take the risk of the change.
Right.
And that is always, you know, a very personal thing. But the way I have lived my life, and of course I've made huge mistakes the way everybody else has, but I kind of live by the, what I call the worst case scenario rule. So
okay.
If I'm about to take a risk, what is the worst thing that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And if I can live with that worst thing that can happen, it's worth taking.
Yeah. That's really great. What a great answer.
Oh, and just one more quick thing, Mari. I'm sorry to interrupt, but change is scary. But the only for sure thing in our lives is change.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's so true. It's so true. And, you know, I love that you said you don't overcome the fear. It's part of you and your daily life as you're doing new things. It's always scary. It's always, at least for me, it's always scary. But it's, you know, it's doing it anyway. Feeling the fear and doing it anyway. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for being on the show. It has been such a pleasure having you. What beautiful stories and what a wonderful work you have done with women. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it was entirely my pleasure. And thank you for listening in. I want to remind you that this is a live show, but a replay of it is being created as we speak. So if you know anyone in this situation, if you know anyone who would love to read this book, Christmas is coming, go right on the link and buy one for someone you know needs to hear this message. And make sure that you join us next time on Dare to Feel Authentic Radio. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.